What's up, AfterBuzzers? We are back with a whole new season of The Magicians to talk about. That's right, we're talking about Season 4, Episode 1, A Flock of Lost Birds, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
See, we gotta start on a divisive note. That's what it is.
Adrian, I didn't know your face expression would hit that hard.
Yeah.
I'm feeling this. I don't know about y'all.
Welcome back, y'all.
I'm feeling it.
You're feeling it?
Absolutely.
Shout out to the audio listeners.
Absolutely. Guys, we're back for a whole new season. We got some new faces. We got some returning faces. I'm excited.
Yes.
Y'all are excited. We got to get into it. My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me online on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. To my left,
hey.
Been here since day one. Man.
So much Taylor Swift.
Four seasons. We talk about a lot of T Swift here on the Magicians panel. You can find her online at Miss Adrian Snow because it's Miss Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone. Good to see you again.
So excited. I feel like it's been longer than a year. Right?
Feels like it.
Man. Yes. Over on the other side of the panel, we got our brand new host on the Magicians panel. I'm so excited. First off, you've seen him on AfterBuzz talking about Westworld, talking about Preacher. You can find him online at Dog Black Nate. Nate Miller.
Yo, you did your research. I like this. Let's do this. I'm ready to go.
I'm
so excited. I was telling you, I only just recently like got into this show, really.
Yeah.
I'm a Netflix guy. That's how I got hooked.
Of course.
But I love it. I love it.
So no, I'm
really excited for this season.
Definitely, definitely. And two Nates left. One of my absolute favorite people and hosts in record time. We just met like 2 weeks ago.
And it was love at first sight.
You've seen her on AfterBuzz talking about everything from Saturday Night Live to South Park, all sorts of stuff. You can find her online at Steph Sabra.
At Steph Sabra, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Sabra.
Ty, you couldn't have said it better. We did really connect quickly.
Seriously. On the Titan game.
It's like, I was like, I gotta get on this panel because I love the show and I just love Ty.
She identified as a Margot pretty much right away. Like, first yes. time we ever spoke.
Instant.
Yeah. Gotta get you an eye patch.
Right?
Exactly.
I like to think I'm a Margot, New Alice hybrid type of deal.
Okay, sure.
Definitely have a Daria type lean.
Oh, I love we both have the monotone voices.
Yes, that's my
yes.
life. People are like, are you just doing a Daria impression? I'm like, no, Daria's doing an Adrian impression.
That's yeah, right. why, like, shout out to past host Joelle Monique.
Yes.
When you guys would be on the same side of the panel, just like the differing energies
yes.
of you guys.
She has so much energy. And you'd be like, and they'd come over to me and I'd be like, yeah, so Quentin really pissed me off this episode. Like, that's, you know.
Oh, but so for the good. But see, I feel like I'm right there with you, Nate, because I caught up on this pretty recently. Like, I had missed the kind of the back half of the last season, so I caught up real quickly. But we're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about how Alice is kind of the only one that remembers who she is. We're going to talk about her new friend, her new cellmate. Going to talk about everyone's new identities, all that sort of stuff. And, of course, this murderous monster that's friends with Elliot / Brian, not Brian.
Friends.
Brian,
yeah. Fred.
Nigel. Elliot's Nigel, right? I was writing
I think
names.
Elliot's Brian.
No, Brian is Quentin. Because he had...
Oh, no, I'm
last
dumb.
Last year
yes.
he had the cup. And
Brian,
then he said
not Brian.
His name, Brian, not Brian.
I was wondering who Nigel was.
Yep.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
Isaac is trash. We'll get there.
There we go. See, we got it. So let's start. Let's kick things off with Alice. With
yeah.
Alice
okay.
kind of... Under the lock and key of the library, the sort of new world order of the magicians. What do you guys think of her predicament?
It's nice to see Mean Alice is here to stay. I love Mean Alice.
It's not quite
Niff
and Alice. Mean Alice.
It's not quite Niff. I said Mean Alice,
right.
not completely batshit crazy Alice.
Oh my gosh.
Because she was crazy. But, you know, it's nice to see her just kind of have an edge and... And the bacon reference, I love it, because that bacon whole scene was just so much fun from, oh my god, was that season 2? Season 3?
I think it might have been season 2. Oh, but just as loves its callbacks.
Forever. So it's nice to see her kind of finding her way. And then, of course, I'm here for St. Nicholas. I love all the origin stories of Santa Claus and how it gets super dark the further you go. And I'm also here for him being black. Black Santa. Okay. Whatever your name is, white woman who got fired from Good Morning America. Black Santa.
Exactly.
I never forgot.
Now, we've seen it on the show before where they've sort of, like, unfolded these references where, like, you start kind of picking it up as it goes and then it hits you with, like, wait, are you Santa Claus? Stuff yes. like that. I want to know what you guys thought of that whole kind of sequence.
Of the Santa Claus yeah, sequence? Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. My gosh. I loved it. I didn't know who he was going to be, mm-hmm. but that kick, I feel like Magicians does such a good job of doing stuff that on the outside is very corny, but somehow they make it cool. And yeah. Like, yes. So I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, on that same note, I was just describing the show to a friend earlier, and I told them that, like, it's really good because there's lots of serious moments, but it also doesn't take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fantasy nerd. I love reading urban fantasy, and the biggest trope in that is explaining common myths or fantasy stuff away with whatever is that, you know, system of magic. So I think it's cool. I thought it was a little cheesy, a little on the nose, but I'm also super here for Black Santa. Yeah.
Sorry, the Today Show. My bad.
That's what it was. Was it Megyn Kelly?
There we go.
There it is.
I've already blinked you out of my life.
I'm excited to see what it's interesting that Alice is like in this position where now she kind of has to like save everyone, especially because she's been so up and down in terms of like likability. And last season she was doing good and then betrayed everyone and kind of went crazy. And I don't know, so I'm excited to get some redemption with her.
I completely agree. The redemption, because I love how Julia got her way deserved redemption because she did kind of screw over the crew, but she was dealing with a lot of trauma. And Alice, in the same way, has to deal with her trauma, losing her dad, literally slaughtering people for knowledge. So I like that she's going to get that this season, I hope.
Yeah. They do a really good job of handling trauma on the show. Like, I've always kind of been like, I really enjoy the fact that they don't let anything slide on the show. Mm. Like, people have to kind of face their demons and face trauma. So I think
there's real consequences, which is it's very important to relating to characters on TV, because when it feels like the consequences aren't real,
to support someone else's problems. I always say when people do that.
In that same vein of real consequences, did you guys think that Alice was actually trying to kill herself?
No.
No, uh-uh.
Nah. Okay. She was listening to what Nick was saying, and so she figured, oh, okay, well, this is probably a way out if I can kill myself.
Yeah.
Then they won't let me die, and so she's savvy enough to figure that out.
Exactly. I was wondering exactly how it was going to play out, if she was going to, you know, let the, was it Zelda that found her?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Zelda got close enough, I wasn't sure if she was just going to just, like, attack her right there, or if she was going to kind of let it play out, things like that. I definitely didn't anticipate the roach playing into it.
Right.
Yeah.
So where are we going with the roach? Because we see the roach popping up as a motif throughout the episode. We see Franz Kafka's Metamorphosis, and we hear one of the librarians talking about how they found the roach. So it keeps kind of popping up. Where do we see that paying off?
Oh, man, I hadn't even thought about it. See, this is why I need to be able to watch this show twice before coming here.
I feel you. I'm the same way.
Maybe, like, the bunnies. That's what I was thinking. They could be messengers.
Oh, interesting. Maybe. Okay.
Well,
him, one.
Sure.
I had a feeling that they were trying to say something with Kafka's Metamorphosis, and then I was like, damn, I really should have read that in high school and they assigned it to me.
For a long time.
Or it's been, like, blank amount of years, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am since I've been in high school. But there is something there, but cockroaches, like the ones
the hissing cockroaches,
maybe they can communicate with her.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe they can magic or something like that.
She literally was given a book called Metamorphosis, which has a cockroach on it. Uh-huh. We see that, like, we see how locked down the library is, the paint, the handcuffs, the mitts. But what's walking around and uncontrollably, even with all that power library has, they can't keep the cockroaches out.
Yeah.
So maybe call me crazy. She's going to turn into a cockroach, and that's how she's going to get out.
Right,
like,
right.
It seems it seems kind of like too obvious to be the thing, but also like.
Well, she's just got to figure out how to get the paint off that. Well, she could do a body transition where she gets the paint off the walls to do magic, then makes the cockroach look like her, and she looks like the cockroach. And,
oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay, Steph, what do you think?
Metamorphosis, or she,
something like that.
I think that could be it. But also, they're not. I feel like they're checking Alice's room more seriously than everyone else's. Like, wouldn't they notice paint is coming off?
I was wondering about
they
that.
They didn't notice her
killing herself.
Yeah.
If they're able to, if she's able to activate her magic, then that shouldn't, she's probably able to put up that entire illusion. So if they come by and see Cockroach Alice chilling.
Cockroach Alice.
But she has the help of Santa Claus. And we know Santa Claus is all about getting into people's houses, you know, sneaking in and out.
That is true.
He's a master of
that.
Plenty
of people have died trying to go down their own chimney.
He's not
Santa Claus.
Yeah, he's not just about finding nice people. He's also about breaking and entering.
Yeah. Never forget.
I love that backstory of his, by the way, not to belabor the point, but the fact that he's kind of carrying on Diogenes' work.
Yeah.
Like tying these together in such an interesting way.
That was really smart. That was really clever.
And I really do appreciate that they always go back to Greek mythology, because so much of our current day myths come from Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. We forget sometimes that most things were hijacked. And so to have that kind of play into it, that even the story of Santa Claus probably does have some type of origin, or definitely does have an origin from a prior religion. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. But for us to continue to grow, we could use your help. Now, if you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, you know the deal. Give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us in doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends and keep on enjoying our shows.
Yes, please. We also have a great question from the chat.
Yes.
Mason Blick says, Zelda gave her that book. Is she a rebel?
No.
I didn't even think about that.
Man, I can't imagine.
Look, all I'm saying is they did a lot of work in fleshing her character out last season.
Yeah. Sure.
And like, I don't feel like she is that maliciously evil. I feel like she thinks she's doing the right thing. And I think if we find out that there's like I don't think she's the end all be all power of the library.
No.
And so that stands to reason that there's people above her. And I think she might be able to be swayed.
Interesting.
To.
No,
I disagree with that. Only because I think she's a true believer in the order. She's not going to sway.
That. But I do think, I don't think that necessarily precludes us from seeing a rebellion near the end of the season.
True, but what I also think, there was something that, why am I blanking? The god.
Ember.
There's something that Ember said quite casually to Janet Margo, where he was like, you know, gods might be messing with stuff in Fillory. And I was like, oh crap, what if gods are kind of just toying with the order, or the order is an order of,
Malevolent.
Oh, there you go.
Can't speak right now. Malevolent, whatever, I can't say that word. Gods that have come down to kind of just toy and mess with Earth. Because there was that kind of fear that was happening last season, and then it didn't come to fruition because we ended up getting weird, scary home dude that's in, you know, taking over.
Right. Now, you mentioned that sort of that energetic emanation, as he calls it, that was triggered by any number of kind of calamities or disasters. So let's talk about how he sort of is visiting Margo/Janet and how that kind of plays into everything. I do like that they tied in Janet. For our viewers that are avid readers of the books, Margo was named Janet in the books, obviously. We avoided that in the show because there were a whole lot of J names with Julia and all that stuff. So nice little Easter egg for longtime fans. But what do we think about I guess, the kind of the gang's new identities in general and kind of Katie's new life as a cop and how she keeps kind of uncovering things like this.
I love that, Kate, because at first I thought they were going to put her back where she was in season one, I believe, when she got kicked out or when she left the school. But then to see that kind of redemption in her being, because she hasn't really been the one to take control ever. And so I like that she's going to be the one solving problems first.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nate, what'd you think?
It was really tropey. I enjoyed it. I think it was really well done. But I'm kind of ready for them to be them.
Now here's a question though. Do you think it was tropey by design?
Yes, okay. I do. Okay. I do. And I think it was very well executed, especially with the comic book. And also, and I said this earlier, like I'm just really excited to see magic again. Like there was magic in season three, but not like we've already seen, there was a lot of magic in this episode. Sure. Even when he did the spell just to like get a peek at the window and like, I was like, woo!
Yay! Yeah, that was a long time without magic. That's true.
And then it's a credit to the writing. It's a really great job of bringing everyone together after just splitting everybody up. And also the way they worked Marina in there, I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Especially after like her and like them not knowing her and being like, yeah, I'm the good white witch. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This is an alternate universe Marina, right? Because our Marina's dead.
Well,
It's
Marina 23, right?
Yeah, that's the Marina they brought back with them.
And so what about Penny? Is that Penny 2?
This is Penny 23.
That's Penny 23?
Yeah, because Penny 40 is still in the underworld. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Oh, and we didn't see anything of him, right?
Right.
So I'm...
That's what I was wondering about the cockroach. Maybe. Maybe.
Oh.
I don't know.
It could be. Dang, I gotta go back and watch.
Spoiled the whole season.
I'm so okay with two pennies.
Because my brain was like all over the place. I liked the fact that they were tropey. Mm-hmm. And I liked they were acknowledging just like... dumb crap about what these alternates, like Hit Bone, like that's the name of the magazine.
Oh, the magazine that
I was like, oh, that's
Janet
hilarious, because of course it's a fashion magazine, and you know, Hit Bones were a style at one point.
Well, especially in learning that it was Foggy that did it.
Yes,
and that
you understand then, that there was love behind it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then all the references start to make more sense, mm-hmm. and then it all makes sense. Yeah,
and
there was a reason.
You also get that he's kind of just being an asshole about it, because he's like, well, I think Penny would probably hate being like some
DJ Hansel.
DJ, like, who's like all about love. And yeah. I was like, yes.
That is so true.
Penny. And he's like, and you know, where else? Katie would be safe if she was a cop, because then she could still be her rough, like, kind of tumble self, but she's not going to get in trouble. And then that moment where he was like, the reason why he brought Kimber back, or / Julia back, was because
he
wanted
to
protect her, because he felt guilty about last time.
From the first
time,
yeah.
Right.
But she got so much stronger because...
Yeah.
Goddess.
Because she went through that trauma. As much as it was horrible to see and horrible for her to experience, without that, she probably wouldn't have reached her full potential in terms of really understanding the full magnitude of her level of magic.
Right.
I mean, we even kind of see that exemplified in the other, you know, the little glimpses into the other timelines that we see.
Yeah.
She doesn't reach anywhere near like she does this time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that speaks to one of the philosophical questions that kind of keeps popping up in the show, mm-hmm. is people go through these awful things. Would you take those things away if it means it didn't make you who you are?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, is it worth getting to where you are and having been a survivor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus just kind of if you could go back and just erase all that.
Especially in a world where you actually can do that.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I think they even take it a step further, because in last season, she always said, they never said she's glad it happened, because I think it can be so deep and dimensional where it's not that you're glad it happened, it's now what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And it's, you can't be consistently ruining your life because some monster came in. You have to take some control if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She made the decision to go from victim to survivor,
yeah.
and kind of take everything that came along with that. I love the little reference that the comic book is written by James Tiberius R. Martin.
Yes, it's George. Wait, what? Okay. I was trying to figure it out, and then I couldn't. So
James Tiberius is James T. Kirk. Captain Kirk.
Oh, I was like, Tiberius. I know that name.
James Tiberius
Why
Kirk.
Do I know it? My dad's a Trekkie, not me. I'm the Whovian. Okay. Got it.
That's what it is.
But then R. Martin is clearly George
of course.
R. Martin.
Okay. Of course. Yeah. Cool. But I love that some of these personalities are kind of similar. Janet is basically just Margot, just in a different line of work. Whereas, like we said, DJ Hansel is kind of the polar opposite of what we know as Penny.
Or actually, it is more like Penny 23.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah, it is a little bit more like Penny 23.
He wasn't really like the dick that Penny 40 was.
Also, Penny we've known for most of the seasons, he did when he died and no one, or when he was Astro, he was gone. When people weren't really mourning him, he wanted that.
Yeah. That's true.
So it makes sense that he was in a position where people really loved him and were like praising him almost.
Yeah. It was one of those things where he kind of realized it too early. Like, oh no, this is what I want. Yeah. Why is nobody crying? Yeah.
Because you were a jerk for like a long time.
Exactly.
And that's also kind of a different side of trauma, because when you hear Penny's backstory, which we don't know much, but we do know that like for most of his life he was tormented by the beast and like being able to hear the beast, and that kind of closed him off to people, and so it kind of shows just like how people treat coming out of any type of traumatic events. Like some people will kind of I don't know if this is appropriate to say, like rise to the occasion in terms of like they are able to overcome it without completely losing themselves, and some people just build walls to protect themselves from ever happening again. So, interesting thought.
Right. So while we're on the topic of kind of the crew and sort of these personalities, let's kind of jump forward to the end of the episode. We'll jump back a little bit. We'll skip around all that good stuff. But let's talk about where we end with Margot being woken up in Fillory. Where do we think we're going with that?
Damn,
couldn't he have put her like in the castle or something?
No, because it's Ember. It's not even Ember. It's like an idea of Ember.
It's an echo of
Ember. Ember.
It's a voice message.
Yes, exactly.
And he was a jerk in real life when he was like, oh, there's something. You have a little patch on your face. Let me just snatch that off and traumatize you. Like, that's Ember. That's just. He doesn't get the full story and he acts too quickly. Even when he's not really there.
Right. So what do you guys think about the journey that she's going to go on? Who do you think might recognize her first? Anything like that?
People who shouldn't.
Yeah?
She does not want to recognize her first.
Fenn will be there, right?
Yeah, she's ruling in the interim, yeah.
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 There was a rumor that she wasn't really going to come back this season.
Oh, what? I was counting on her to be like a big help here.
For what it's worth, she took over the magician's Instagram account.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that today. Okay.
So I think she'll be around.
Somebody said that to me and I was like, what? Okay. I was wrong.
But you never know. Who knows?
Good. Well, then it should be her. But I don't think Fillory is the way they left it in terms of.
Well, what do you.
Oh, the way that. Yeah.
Which of the issues do you think triggered the. The message. So
interesting. Said, that's a good point.
I think it was the one where he mentioned the gods. The one that he was super casual about, just kind of glazing over it.
Right.
And then
you think
also,
it's that?
I think it's that, and just crap. The fact that according to them, the book was written 14 years ago.
The comic book.
So I don't know if maybe they've done a whole nother time loop.
Okay.
So technically it has actually been 14 years.
I think you're looking too deep into that.
I could be wrong. But in terms of the amount of time, and time does move differently in Fillory. So even if it's been just a few weeks.
Oh, well, regardless, time has...
Sure.
Yeah. It could be a lot longer that they've been gone from Fillory.
My question is, why now and not when they were at war last season?
Right.
Well, because now Ember's not there. To protect it.
He wasn't there last season.
But he was still a threat. You know what I mean?
No.
And, well, no, because
he was dead last season.
No.
Yeah, Ember was.
He died in season two.
Oh my god, my brain.
Right? So he was dead in season three.
Oh,
that's why
he went
magic
to hiding.
Gone.
And then they had the king. Well, there's that.
And then they went into war. So, okay.
So then if his.
Because the magic was gone. That's why.
Yeah, magic was gone.
I got you guys.
And then what was the other thing? Wait. There's something I was going to say. If it wasn't Ember's death, then if it wasn't magic being gone.
Is it the fact that this new kind of thing that's taken over Elliot's body is in kind of the Earth realm?
But
I gotta go back and watch. watch all this.
I thought about that too, except for when we, I mean, just to jump ahead a little bit, when we see them, like, we saw them at the end of season three in that little teaser, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, we obviously time has passed since then.
Right.
Because Brian, not Brian, is he... It knows that he's going to kill the guy, and even though he's like scared, like obviously he's seen him kill a few guys, and apparently they're chasing down somebody else too, which is another one of
someone in Greece,
which we haven't met yet.
I think it comes down to there is actually no one really protecting Fillory, because even when Ember was gone, you had High King Margo and High King Elliot. And then at one point, Julia was there. So there was always some type of god-like persona coming around.
Okay.
And now there's no one. There's no one with any... There's no magicians, as far as I can tell, in Fillory, because Finn can't do magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be one of the reasons why it's accessible. And then also, maybe they didn't get their hands on Quentin. And that was kind of a thing. There was a threat to Quentin being... Like God's coming after him directly, not just them turning off magic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a lot upon it, but
a lot has happened so much that my brain is confused.
Now, I think to your point, Nate, you mentioned the fact that some time had passed since I can't remember the name of the thing that's in Elliot's body right now.
I think it's love.
Is it just love?
That's what they were calling. Are we calling him, it?
Let's call it that.
Or it.
Right.
I think it's like, I mean...
They called him love.
I think we should go with Evil Elliot, I think is just what we should
do. That might be easiest.
I think Nigel is an evil enough name.
So I think that's true. That's true. I think the fact that Quentin is so kind of like... He's so kind of deadened to the murder at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he tries to get Elliot to stop, but... When it finally happens, he's just kind of resigned to it, and he's already covered in blood.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that? Steph, what did you think of that kind of whole thing?
Oh my gosh, it was so creepy. But Elliot is such a good, I mean, he's the perfect one to play this character. I'm actually terrified. And I love the pairing of him and Quentin. I think that goes really well together, just because everyone else would have been like, what the heck? But Quentin is true Quentin. He'll always kind of, I think inside he's just curious. He wants to try to figure something out.
Right. And yeah.
He doesn't want to die.
Hale Appelman is so good at playing that sort of like, it's empty behind the eyes, but there's this kind of this childlike sort
demonic
of mischievousness.
Yeah, menace.
Yeah. I think what you said about Elliot and Quentin kind of being at odds reminds me of the fact that Julia's kind of alternate self, Kimber D'Antoni, we see her discover Breakbills in like a perfect one-to-one mirroring of season one.
With Todd.
Right, with Todd.
Trying to be Elliot.
Todd as not Elliot.
I love that.
Todd's always the person where you're like, he's really great comic relief, but you're like, this is why you're not one of them.
This is why you're Todd, yeah. But that reminded me of, because when that scene originally happened, it was Elliot and Quentin.
Yeah.
And I think that dichotomy is played to such great effect in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin's just sort of like helplessness and just sort of bewilderment at everything that's happening around him. And the fact that Elliot can just take everything in stride.
But I also like, that also puts him in a great position for us to see how much he's changed, because I feel like that was his whole plot point last season was him going through this growth and trying to get it from this journey and realizing that it has to come from within.
Mm-hmm.
So to be honest, I'm going to be really upset if it continues with him throughout the whole season with him still being pouty Quentin. Like, it's time to like do something.
Right.
And I think him being paired with Elliot will help that certainly, because they spent a lifetime together. Like, so they're...
Oh, that was one of my favorite parts.
I think that's kind of a part of why even the monster that's
has
inhabiting
that
Elliot
initially.
You know, there's already that pull that they've had children together and, like, you know, died together. And so and they didn't remember that until, what, the second to last episode? We had a whole life together.
Yeah.
So I really hope that they don't leave that part behind just because Elliot's been possessed by Nigel.
I feel like we got a little bit of a taste of that at the end of season three when we saw the version of Quentin that was the Beast in the 23rd timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think... it was so kind of jarring seeing that side of him, you know, when we're so used to the Quentin that we've always seen.
So are you thinking that Quentin, there's a part of Quentin that maybe enjoys, as Brian Quentin, enjoys the slaughter?
I don't know that he would enjoy it, but, like, that could play a part in why he's so kind of unaffected by it at this point. Because we don't know if that was just the second person that Nigel killed.
Many people.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute, I think, since the end of season 3.
Yeah, because it seemed like he found him, like, right away.
Mm-hmm. So, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
The chat keeps bringing up that they think it has to do with old gods, because even in the preview it said the old gods thing, so I think there'll be a difference between what we're...
Right.
I do think it's... because the old gods were the ones who turned off magic.
Exactly.
And now they have... okay, there we go. I got it. It's back. Now they have magic. So they've basically undermined everything the gods had done to punish them for killing a child of the gods, which is Ember.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would make sense that they would come into Fillory and infiltrate Fillory, and then because Fillory is kind of have like the closest access to Earth, so you come there.
I don't think it's that. I think it's because the end of the.
It's not true.
Well, we just found out that the end of the, what do they call it, the castle that
Whitespire?
Yeah, it's on. It's literally on Fillory. So there's got to be even more significance to Fillory than just.
Yeah. I'm not saying that there's a more significance. I'm just saying that if they're attacking, there's a reason why they're attacking Fillory before they come to Earth.
So they can get
to Earth. So they need something. Either they need to get to Earth from Fillory, or they need something from Fillory before they come to Earth. That's all I'm saying.
I see.
We haven't seen any gods on Earth yet, so.
That we know of.
That we
know. That's true. That's a good
point. Well, no.
Have we?
Wasn't,
Because Umber, did Umber? Earth? Umber
they're young gods.
Oh, that's right. Those are not old gods.
They're the children of the old gods.
True. Very true.
So the only god, old god we've seen is when Persephone came to get her child.
Mm.
What's his name?
Renard.
Oh, Renard.
And that's the only... And she's not even technically a god, as much as she's like the stolen wife of a god. But
see, we're getting deep enough, in their mythology here, y'all.
But also probably not an old god.
No, Hades is her husband. He's an old god. Well, he's not a Titan.
Right, and that's what I mean is
so,
we don't...
But that's the difference. Are we talking about Titans or are we talking about old gods? Because Ember is not...
Or are we talking like Cthulhu?
That's what I always think of when I think about old gods.
They're trying to go dark.
Lovecraft.
Like, how
if you're talking
far
about
Locke
and things... Right. And, but also with
Titans
this show...
Titans are as old as you get
they
in Greek
do their
mythology,
research.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I love about this show. They bring every part of magical realms, but into one in a comprehensive way, usually, except for when the season starts, I'm always like, wait, what the heck?
Right.
Who was here?
So did we touch on Marina's kind of end game and why she's sort of like...
How
why she's
she
in the
not,
picture?
Oh, wait. She will know who they are if she sees their faces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened at the end.
She,
I think that's,
when she was kind of looking
face.
Through the...
I think she did.
She almost got it, but then it blew.
It was kind of...
So she,
but she went like...
yeah. But I think,
like she like saw something.
Maybe. Maybe she almost saw
I think
Margo.
She figured it out.
I don't think she saw
it. We'll find out.
Because otherwise...
I think you're right. I think she almost did, and then it did that whole Stir of Echoes thing where faces aren't actually there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think to jump forward a little bit, I think that's why Dean is like, hey, knock it off.
Leave them alone.
Exactly.
But wasn't there a Dean in 23 as well? No.
The one that ended up being kind of like a drug addict? Or no.
I mean, they're
all
getting
drug
my addicts.
Deans, I'm getting
but
my
no,
Deans
yes.
confused.
The one when they travel.
The one that was like a sloppy drug
yeah,
addict.
Yeah, that was like really
was that
not.
23?
That was 23, yes.
No, that was from 40, wasn't it? That was from the timeline that we're following, that we were originally following, right?
No. This was a Dean who wasn't even a Dean. He had like a...
Oh, the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was 23. If anyone in the chat knows, gosh.
Call us out.
When you start getting to multiverse, it gets really hard, you guys.
You need a graph.
String theory? Yeah, exactly.
You need a graph.
Luckily, it's not Fringe or anything
right?
Like that.
Oh, my God. It's Flash. I'm like, okay, which Barry am I talking to right now?
Right, exactly.
But, yeah. So she might, I would think that Marina might know, even from the sound of Dean's voice, he might be tight. We'll see.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot to get through. I feel like we covered all of it. Do you guys have anything to add on before we get into these predictions?
I'm just really pissed that our favorite magicians are in this position. I'm glad it's happening because obviously they found such a ingenious way to keep the storyline going without it being boring or redundant. Mm. But it pisses me off. I'm like, they saved magic.
Yeah.
And you guys are gonna do this. Like,
they stole it from them after they saved it. And then
see?
They basically took something that was free for everyone to enjoy and republicanized
it. Well, but I feel like you're not telling the whole story because why did it get taken away in the first place?
Okay, it was their fault. Because of them,
right?
But, and you know.
So.
Actually, no. It wasn't I'm not even saying they did the right thing. Fault.
I'm just saying.
It was Quentin's fault because he stabbed Ember.
They all conspired. They all conspired in the premeditated murder.
See, if Alice hadn't destroyed the keys.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to really sit here Alice's and blame fault. My magicians. All I'm going to say is maybe don't republicanize magic. Maybe let it be free.
Okay. There's a whole lot of allegory in the
There's
magicians.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of regulation.
Oh,
okay?
My God, the conservative.
You can't allow these people to hurt themselves.
No. So my favorite line.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
See, we got to get this. This is what the not panel's a conservative. Been missing.
You're like, let me be on the record.
Yeah, for the record.
You're like, wait a second. No,
but
real,
just
real,
in theory.
Everybody should have their automatic magic. As they would like.
I like that. Guys, before we wrap up, let's get into some predictions.
Wait, no, my favorite. Well, let's go.
Now, AfterBuzz TV predictions.
It's long on this time.
This is a lot of theremin.
You can talk
okay,
over
now
it.
Go.
Oh, my favorite lines were the wigs and fetish underwear. And then color correction is so bad it's racist. That's all I wanted to
that
say.
Was good.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good lines.
It's all in the details.
All Margo.
Right.
Margo
or when Nick was talking about the all the weird sex stuff that you hear about the elves. That's only partially true.
I was like, what's happening in North Pole?
Did any...
I love the Jimmy's... Oh, Jimmy's are sprinkles.
I love that. The eternal fight.
He's already dead.
The hand off of the ice cream, and he just like eats it a little bit. He's like, okay. Still love you, Tito.
Steph, did any lines jump out at you?
No, the Margo. Anything with the Margo.
Of course.
Yeah, I love Margo.
Okay. So predictions wise, let's start with Steph and then come around back.
Yeah.
Where do you think we're going?
In
the short term or the long term?
Okay, I'm gonna go short term because I have no idea where the season is going, which excites me. I think we're gonna get more Alice and figure out a little bit more what her plan is. And I would love to see, I don't know, Zelda's becoming a Professor Umbridge type to me, but I do hope that like the empathy she showed towards her daughter can kind of be displayed through Alice.
She still did let her daughter like get stuck slaughtered. In the mirror world. So.
Man, I forgot.
I think she
about,
feels guilty.
I forgot all about her daughter.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a great twist.
Man.
I had to bring it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. I think there's a lot more to Zelda this season. I think that'll be interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I love this whole like alternate universe, like retelling the same story in a different way thing. So seeing Break Bills and how they're operating now, I like that. I like to see more of like how the Dean is operating around this like supply limit, and he clearly is not happy with it himself too.
Yeah.
So I think that's gonna be really interesting. And yeah, I'm just excited to see more magic.
Right.
We've got a lot, and it looks like it's gonna, you know, just kind of ramp up from there.
Mm.
Sure, Adrian, what do you think?
I'm really curious to see what the Order is about. Anytime there's any type of group that's called the Order, I'm like, that's not good.
Not good.
Yeah, I don't care how well dressed they are in their classy 50s gear. They're up to no good. So I'm curious about that, and then I always love anything they do with the Greek mythology or just any mythology that they decide to bring into the universe. So having, I think Santa, I don't know, I'm curious to see if they're going to make him, like good, like, quote-unquote good commercialized Saint Nick or bad Saint Nick who would also, if you were bad, steal you from your home. And eat you.
Right? You never know.
So he could go dark. I would really appreciate that.
I mean, he is locked up.
He did do something.
It does bad things to you.
I mean, but it doesn't take much. Like, they're just knowledge hoards.
Mm. He basically said that he was, like, framed, right? That they basically locked him up just for trying to perfect Diogenes' spell?
Yeah, because they don't like when people, like, they don't like when people touch their books because he went to the poison room.
Oh, that's right, the poison room.
Nahl's in the chat has a good prediction. He says that Alice is going to bring back her universal theory of magic to destroy the siphon and give magic back to everyone without it being rationed or controlled.
That'd be cool.
I dig that. That's thinking big picture. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
I realize I didn't actually say a prediction, but I said predictions throughout the entire episode.
You got it.
We made a lot.
I'm having trouble thinking of some myself. I think if I'm going to go with anything, I think Zelda might be, aside from Nigel, we'll call him, I think Zelda is going to be the force that kind of they keep running against and running into. I don't think, if we do see a good side, I don't think it's going to be till way, way, way late in the season. Mm. So, who knows? We'll see. But guys, thank you so, so much for joining us. We'll be right back here, same time, same channel, talking episode 2, but starting with Steph. Guys, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
Guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DogLikeNate.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
As always, you can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA, as well as Thursday nights on the Titan Games After Show. But until next week, we'll be talking about episode 2. Same time, same channel, same place. Y'all know what it is. Until then, peace!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.